Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Funny, because I saw the tweet from Larry Fitzgerald Sr., who's been a member of the media for a long time. His son, obviously Larry Fitzgerald, the future Hall of Fame, first ballot Hall of Famer of the Arizona Cardinals. And it was one of those things where I saw it, it's like, you know, Larry Fitzgerald Sr. never really breaks any news. But the fact that he never breaks any news and he's going out on a limb with this,
right.
And when you consider who he knows and when you consider who his son knows, it doesn't take much to get him to the point where he's hearing something and he believes it's credible. Raiders prepared to offer Tom Brady $60 million over 2 years.
Mike Florio buying into the Larry Fitzgerald Sr., his point last week that he's hearing. That's one of the buzzwords, right?
Yeah.
I'm hearing.
It is. I have that written down.
Right. 2 years.
Word is.
Right. $60 million with a Raider.
Here's the thing. There's no way.
I thought it wasn't about money, though. What are we talking about money? Why is everybody, when they bring this stuff up, talk about Tom Brady going to a greener pastures? And when I say greener pastures, money. And all I hear from the Brady people is this is not about money. Well, it's not about money. What are we talking about the money?
Here's the thing. How do you know, or is there any proof that he's right? There's no proof that he's right. None whatsoever. Or even if the person who told him is right, or if they misheard it, or maybe they were being used and they knew it would get to Larry Fitzgerald Sr. and he would relay the message. I don't believe him, because why would you want that out? Why would you, in your internal discussions, closed door, you don't want anyone to know. Like, if there's that many leaks in the NFL amongst agents and teams and GMs and presidents, that they would allow that information to get out. Why? Who does it benefit if that information gets out? Like, because my point is that, okay, they would benefit Tom. If that information gets out, it would benefit Brady. Listen, the asking price is 30 per. So be careful, like, with your first offer. Because if you come in any lower than that or at a disrespectful level, then I'll already know that you're not serious. So I already have a deal waiting for me. You want to play chicken? You want to go back and forth like this? You're going to call my bluff? All right, fine. I think ultimately, that's what it's going to turn into. The one, it's one team knowing that this is their point of no return.
Playing chicken. You get it?
Playing chicken. Yes, that's the chicken.
See, I think the point, Glenn, you're talking about money, that his people are about money. I mean, I think that might have maybe, you know, money means respect. And you've heard that before, too. But when it comes down to New England, when it comes down to this team, it's more about talent. He's not happy with the talent he has on offense. So it's when this team, it's about that. Elsewhere, it can be about money, because there might be two or three teams he might look at and say, you know what? Yeah, they do have some talent that I'm interested in looking at, because now it's about respect. Teams think I'm worth $30 million. So I don't know. I think he wants to go to a good situation no matter what. But it's not all about the money. I think has more to do with this place in New England, because he knows it's not enough talent. He knows that. He's not sure about elsewhere.
Hey, you know, here's the thing, though. So if Ian Rappaport's report is correct, then they're right where they need to be.
There's no
30
way.
Plus.
There's
hey,
no.
Ian Rappaport said the Patriots are willing to offer him 30 plus per year.
No,
so
do
you, all right. Well, then, you know, hey, Raiders, you're too low.
Okay, so
they'll
do
be
you
done.
So do you buy the premise that Steve Burton threw out there, that Oakland offers him 30, New England offers him 20, and he's going to take the Vegas deal? No way. No way.
Well,
guys.
I don't think Bailey.
And by the way, no
Vegas
state tax in Nevada. But for Tom Brady in the bracket that he's in, the tax bracket and the wealth that you want to see how little, when he sits down with his financial advisor is going to explain to him what the difference is between these two, and it's going to be negligible.
Hey, Vegas, no state income tax.
I just said that.
No but state
still,
income tax.
Yeah, okay.
It's a big difference.
Pay,
and is,
pay an
and
extra
is,
5.5%.
And you don't think a $10 million gap isn't a big deal?
Not if the comfort level and everything else and the uncertainty lose right. He may look at this, New England, and say, I don't have enough pieces right now. to work offensively. And Belichick may sit down and give him a crock of crap and say, oh, we're going to get this and we're going to get that. And then the first round of the draft, he sees up on the board when he's drafting, there's the best pass rusher that he can find in the draft. He sits there and drafts another defensive player. But so he may be totally, you know, making it up with him. But Tom Brady doesn't know what he's going to get. He knows what he gets with Josh. He knows what he gets with Bill. He knows what he gets with the organization.
Well, so what?
He does not know where he's going. And he's doing it at age 43.
I mean, I think he's crazy. You guys think that he's, like, there is some newfound life with a new organization.
Not at 43.
Yes, there is.
Nope. Expectations are
you know,
sky high.
You underestimate
the
power. Motivation.
Yes.
And I mean,
you've only worked here.
I haven't. I've worked a lot of places.
No, you really only. Okay, you worked in your basement, your attic, whatever.
Yeah, basements don't count.
Okay, you only worked here.
It was the attic.
All I know is that, like, when you finally. I mean, I was only in Seattle for what? 7 years.
So was it different? These different organizations?
It was. No, it was.
How was Washington?
Well, that was terrible, but Carolina was great.
Okay.
But Seattle, New England, it was just like, listen, we're packing up, we're moving. It was cool. It was interesting. And you know it's only going to be a short period of time.
How old were you when you moved?
It's irrelevant. It doesn't matter. You think
43 is not irrelevant. Yes.
You think because he's 43
that
he can't deal with change?
It's totally different.
What is wrong with you? Do you think he's that mentally weak and he's that just insecure?
No, I'm not saying he's mentally weak or insecure. I'm saying that
about the great unknown.
I'm saying that anybody that would attempt to do it at age 43 to another marketplace for $10 million more a year is
so what is that
foolish.
Number then? So because I think
foolish.
The Patriots will play to that. So what is that number? So if the Patriots are going to say, listen, hey, guys, they may be offering him 30, but if we offer him 20, he'll stay because he doesn't want to deal with the headache of moving up and leaving.
And I think he will. And that,
so
well,
what if that number is really 24?
See, I'm more
and you miss it.
I'm more on the him going elsewhere. I mean, the guy has accomplished everything in his career.
You'd say
every
he's doing it on
single
his own.
Year, you know, at that age. You know, what keeps guys playing forever is continuing to have a chip on the shoulder, something that pushes them, something that motivates them. That is what every athlete, when the athlete loses that in the off season, they feel it and they know it's over. I think going somewhere else adds to it. It gives them something new. And I think at 43, Glenn, I think he needs that. I think he searches for it. I think it helps if he goes somewhere else to make him feel younger again.
I would say this, Lou. I think he's crazy to do it unless the Patriots don't want him and they're telling him basically we're going to move on. We're going to go younger. We've got to rebuild. And if that's the case and he still wants to play football, and it's pretty obvious, the one thing I think we all agree on, he still wants to play football. Retirement is 100% out. He wants to play. Then you go somewhere else and play.
And I still
at 43, for $10 million, you don't sit there based on his net worth and the other money that he can make, you don't do something like that. And it could be really bad for him.
Honest to God.
What? It could be bad for him. The Raiders could be a disaster.
If this was the great frontier, the last person I'm going off in a wagon with is you.
Yeah, I'm stopping at Ohio. That's it. I'm done.
First sign of trouble.
I'm done.
You know what? This seems like a pretty good spot. Look, we got the water over here. This is great. Keep going. I'll meet you in a couple of years.
It's all trees. There are no roads out here. I'm done.
He's an explorer. He's a wilderness man.
He's a 43-year-old explorer.
He's Jeremiah Johnson. He's ready to explore a new world.
He's ancient in the world of football. Let me go to a couple of these phone calls. Michelle's in a car. Hello, Michelle.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
How are you, Michelle?
Two real quick points. The baseball one, I really think, sadly, the Red Sox may have made history since 2012 when I lived here. This may go back in records as the worst trade ever since Babe Ruth. And
the Mookie Betts trade. Yes.
Yeah, the Mookie Betts trade. It kills me because I am a San Francisco Giants fan, and the last thing I wanted to see was David Price and Mookie Betts go to the Dodgers. On the NFL side, though, with Tom Brady, Glenn, I think you answered your own question. I think it's about Belichick. I called in a few weeks ago and had said that if the Belichick had really, really wanted Tom Brady, he would have started building the offensive weapons around him 2 years ago, and that just didn't happen. He built defense. I think Belichick needs, for his ego or whatever he thinks to be the greatest coach, which he already is, I think he needs to try to win without Tom, and that's sadly what it comes down to.
All right. That's why the $30 million that Rappaport put out there that the Patriots were willing to open up to 30 million makes no sense because he'd be signed by now.
I know, but then it went from 30 million to we'll let him see what's out there. It just
doesn't make any sense.
Because there's 30 million is the number. Okay, fine. This is why you need to be able to dissect the news, right? Who does it serve? Who threw it out there? Who's providing it to you? And who are they connected to? So now we know there's some rumors out there, and whether you like it or not, you're going to have to take them somewhat seriously. So you have a well-respected guy in Larry Fitzgerald Sr. who is saying that he's hearing that 30-plus, 30, 60 for 2 years.
How about this one? Suppose the rap sheet got this figure from the Raiders. That the Raiders are sitting there saying, yeah, we'd like to get Tom Brady, but guess what? Patriots are willing to extend him to $30 million.
It's possible, too.
I don't think we're going beyond that.
Yeah.
Ooh, I like that angle.
It's just, that's why you can't trust.
I like that angle.
So if they were willing to go to $30 million, can we all agree upon this? Kraft doesn't like any of this stuff. Belichick doesn't like any of this stuff. They don't like the fact that their brand is taking a hit where people are talking about Tom Brady, the greatest player to ever play for this franchise or the entire league, going elsewhere. It would be Dunsky. If it was $30 million, they're going to either offer him a real cheap deal, and he's going to have to, you know, come back with his tail between his legs.
Which is why,
or they're moving on without him, and they have another plan to go with Stidham or somebody else.
Do you guys believe that Brady would have taken that Drew Brees 2 years, 50?
I can only go on what Tom Curran says, and I take his word for it. He says he would have accepted it. Now somebody else said, didn't somebody else say the it was rejected by him? Somebody else said that.
Nope. I don't know. But I would think that, you know, a two-year deal, right? But so they paid him, what, $23.5 million last year. That's why the whole $30 million, they'd be willing to do it. Because there's a reason why they didn't give him a multi-year deal, correct?
Yes.
Because you said Bill's trying to be responsible. He's 42. He wants to go year to year. And you never know if this guy just falls apart and he doesn't want to be stuck. So you get the guy at $23.5 million last year. And do you feel like after watching the season, the way Tom played, that they sat there and said, wow, what a mistake. We were wrong. He was outstanding for us. You know, once again, Tom just defying all odds, you know, because he was so good in 2019. He proved us wrong. Now let's give him what we didn't want to give him the year before because we were afraid he was falling apart or could. Now let's do that. Let's give him 25. Let's give him 30-plus.
No way.
Given what they saw last year?
No.
No.
No. See, that's the problem. People are coming up with so much stuff that makes no sense. So it was Rappaport who went against the Tommy Curran line of 2 years, $50 million, which was the Drew Brees deal. And Rappaport said just the opposite, that it was Brady who walked away from it. So there are people out there who think that this is all being done by Brady, that Brady is the one driving the bus, and he wants out of New England. I just find that hard to believe because there's too much downside. Brady's legacy has already been established. He's the greatest of all time. Now you could play it out in New England. You don't have to win another Super Bowl, right? You don't have to do anything. The legacy is all set. But if you go elsewhere, that fan base, that organization is expecting to get the Tom Brady from the last 20 years, and yet you're going to go out there and play at age 43 and age 44? That's frightening. Now, maybe he's got the biggest set of balls in the world. Maybe he just says, screw it. I can do it. I'm better than anybody else.
It's also hard to believe that Tom Brady, the last 2 or 3 years, has been looking for an extension, a long-term deal, and was finally handed one last offseason. He said no.
Yeah, I don't believe that, Lou.
No.
I don't believe it. All right, we get back to the phone call, 617-779-7937, right here on OMF.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Best offensive line in football, emerging defense led by you. They checks every box. Except if Andrew Luck is there, you guys are going to be in contention with Patrick Mahomes and the other elite teams in the AFC. From a pure football standpoint, it's Indianapolis and then draw a line. It's everybody else. And I know as a 40-year-old quarterback, you want to have somebody that can protect you, and nobody can do that better than the Colts.
That's Mike Tannenbaum. He's got his best fit for Tom Brady.
Strong take.
Okay, whatever. People are making it up.
Passionate.
It's all you guys just making up. You want something else that's made up? I'll give you something else that's made up. Because this one's making the rounds right now.
Oh, no.
Teddy Bridgewater expected to have a strong market in free agency.
Wait, who's it from first?
U.S. Stadium could land a multi-year deal paying him around $30 million a year. That's from, what's his name, Jay Fowler over at ESPN. $30 million per year. Does anybody really believe that there's a team out there that is going to pay Teddy Bridgewater $30 million a year based on what? Based on the fact that he was 5-0 this past year with New Orleans when Taysom Hill had to come in and play meaningful snaps during those games?
Free agent quarterbacks, rank them 1 to 5. Rank him. Who's the first? Just like it would be a draft. Who's the top quarterback in the draft? Who's the top free agent quarterback?
Prescott would be your number one guy in that list.
Okay, I'll give you that.
Who's next? Breeze.
Okay.
Yeah.
My point was that he's not even on the list. Bridgewater's not on the list.
No, it hasn't been. He's not on the top five list. He's doing it with an excellent team, right?
Well, great weapons offensively. Which makes everything easier. Good defense, too. You know?
I mean, they broke down a little bit late in the season.
The problem with Bridgewater is, like, you never really knew what he ever was going to be. You know, he kind of started having that, like, what was it, second half, really good year there with Minnesota, and then he got hurt. So, you know, honestly, I put him as, like, slightly above, like, a higher ceiling than what's our buddy up there in Indianapolis.
Yeah, Brissett.
Jacoby
Brissett.
Yeah. Because, I don't know. I don't even think he's Kirk Cousins. We don't really know anything about him. I mean, he won those five games, but like you said, he had a very good team.
Well, I'm trying to remember because you don't see Teddy Bridgewater an awful lot, and I remember seeing him a little bit last year, maybe one of those five games that he played. But it's a short passing game. It's not an explosive, wide-open offense, right? Short little passing game.
I don't think it matters. It's not really
– But I think we're all making stuff up right now. The numbers that are out there – yeah, it's all made up. I mean, I'm sorry.
For every Larry Fitzgerald senior that is referencing Brady, there's another guy out there that's talking about Rivers. That's talking about one of the because we think that the combine is going to come around and Don Yee is going to fly into Indianapolis and he's just going to work his magic doing all his deals while he's in Indy. Right? That's all. This deal can get done over the phone. They have a long history together. They've done tons of deals. It doesn't make sense or doesn't need to happen face to face. What are you going to do? I need to look you in the eye.
Well, let me give you an example of the Philip Rivers because I saw this last week about Tampa Bay and Philip Rivers, and somebody was throwing out $25 million a year, maybe a 1-year deal, maybe they give him an option for the second year, and I'm sitting there, wait a minute. So he made $16 million last year with the Chargers, and they basically cut him. And so you're telling me that there's an NFL team out there that watched him with the Chargers last year, looks at his age, looks at, you know, he's durable, he shows up every week, but half of his body is working and half of it isn't, and you're going to give him a $9 million raise? What are we talking about here? And then you only have $200 million to build your entire roster, and you got to build defensive players and linemen and everything else. This is ludicrous. I think people are just making crap up right now.
Yes.
It's the lying season. You called it that. You're right.
And just it's all crap. Hold on.
It's all crap. Here's Jesse in Boston next up. Hi, Jesse.
Hello.
Hello, Jesse.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
What's up?
Good. Thank you for taking my call. I'd just like to know what you guys think about Belichick and Brady's relationship outside of football. Do you think that it's a mutual respect or is there some bad blood? How do you guys feel like they interact with each other?
I think they work great together.
For 20 years.
I think they work great together. I think
marriages don't last 20 years. What are we talking about? The 20 years they've been able to survive.
They don't sleep in the same house. They don't see each other.
They don't know that.
Five out of the seven days. No. You know, it's not a lot of time. They're both committed
to winning. And because of that, they put everything else aside. If they have their little differences, so be it. It doesn't mean anything. They just want to win. Right? I mean, that's it.
I think the whole relationship thing got blown out of proportion anyways, but whenever those 2 years were, 2 years ago when the whole, you know, Alex Guerrero got involved and it was this versus that and nobody likes each other and, yeah, sure, there's going to be static, but what team doesn't have static? I think that was all kind of exaggerated.
I definitely enjoy kicking back and relaxing.
Here's Andrew in Rhode Island. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Good.
So talk about Brady and a contract extension at his age of 43. I just, from what I read about Antonio Brown lately, I just think Kraft still makes the calls. I do believe he's got a good relationship with Brady. I don't see Belichick pulling the trigger for $30 million or even $25 million at that rate. You know, he's got a lot of holes to fill on defense with Van Noy leaving, Devin McCourty as a free. There's too many holes, and this team just wasn't capable last year.
I mean, that is, you know, people just focus on Brady. I mean, if you're the other free agents, you're probably saying, man, everybody's talking about me. I mean, there's going to be other guys that they're going to need to lock up at some point in time. And I don't know, maybe you think Tooney's probably gone. Van Noy,
By the 18th, they're going to have to do all of that stuff. By the 18th. So there are a bunch of other guys that they have to do, and maybe they're spending some time doing that stuff right now. Who the hell knows?
Yeah. No, and they're working on all these guys at the same time. I mean, there's a lot of work going on. Now, I keep thinking that, okay, fine, so Mike Reese says, hey, they haven't talked yet. Well, they don't need to. They can get this done over the phone. They can get this done. They kind of already know where it should be. It's not like it's going to be a 7-year deal or a 5-year deal. There's going to be some, you know, tweaks to it based on, you know, age, but I don't think there's going to be any incentives whatsoever. It's going to be cash straight up, 2 years, option.
So why isn't it done? You could do it over the phone. Why isn't it done? Because Bill doesn't want him.
They don't want him.
Okay.
They don't want him.
You want me to say that on a loop?
They don't want him.
Wow, you just said it, actually.
They don't want him.
It's amazing.
It's
going
to be all over Fox News now. Watch out. Watch out.
They don't want him. They just don't want him.
Nope.
No, I think this thing could have been solved a long time ago. That's why most of the stuff that's out there.
But since it has it, that means?
That means what?
You just said it could have been handled a long time ago. But since it hasn't happened, that means that they?
Say it.
Say it, Glenn.
Say it, Glenn.
Say it.
That they want. What are you talking about?
Oh, God, that they don't want him.
You're slow today. You all right today?
Oh, I'm not ready to say they don't want him yet. I don't think they want him.
I didn't get it.
But no, I don't.
But,
you don't get it.
But Lou was asking the question earlier, you know, why don't they know what the price is right now? I don't think it's in the best interest of the Patriots to sit there and set the market and say, we're going to pay you $25 million. We're going to pay you $23 million, especially if they want to go on the low end. And I think they want to go and the low end.
Well, let me ask you this, Glenn. So that just sort of proves that they don't want him. Were they afraid to set the market for Stephon Gilmore?
A different story.
Why?
Because it was a player in his peak. I think if Tom Brady...
No, but they set the market. Lou, they could have waited.
Lou, 6 years ago, if Tom Brady were a free agent and a younger man, okay, they would have given him whatever to keep him. It's a different set of circumstances now. So Gilmore was in a position that they needed. They felt highly of the player, and they happened to be right about him. And so they didn't even spend time talking to him. Right. They literally signed him in a matter of hours.
Yeah, they knew what the market was.
Exactly.
Like, I think they know what the market is for Tom.
Oh, I don't think they do.
I do.
I don't.
Me too.
I don't think they do.
Well, whatever it is, they know that that's a commodity. That's an asset that they would like to purchase. And this is what they're willing to pay for it. And nobody knows him better than the Patriots. They've worked with them. They know exactly what his worth, and they know what his real decline is. I guess the most important thing is, what's the depreciation value? And that's what I feel like it is.
Well, it could be far more extensive than what we think.
It's not appreciating,
no,
right?
No, I think on the whole, I certainly did. I defended Brady during the course of the season and basically said he didn't have the weapons around him. He had holes in the offensive line. So there were reasons why he couldn't do certain things on Sunday. But they may look at it much differently. They may look at it and say, you know what? A lot of the problems we had in the offensive line were because, you know, Tom, you know, is old.
That's my point. So, yeah. So what we
separation
what we
of
think
receivers,
worth,
it's
always different, right? And I always think there's this huge gap from what people who aren't in the building, who don't evaluate these guys on a daily basis, because they're always judging them. They're always, you know, watching. So did he depreciate in value or did he go up in value? If this was a stock, is this stock low? Is it
lower.
Time to buy?
I think it's lower for New England.
I think the depreciation factor is a definite factor. Listen, guys, hey, whoa. We didn't show worth. You showed depreciation.
So what is his value out there in the rest of the National Football League? Is it more as somebody?
How desperate are you?
Hold on. Somebody they can market? Or is it somebody they believe can actually help them win football games? I already showed you the odds out in Vegas, and apparently they're better with Derek Carr than they are with Tom Brady, which I find hard to believe. But
I feel like every free agent is more valuable to other organizations. You know, and it might be, you know, obviously guys are more valuable to yours. It's just that other organizations view it differently.
You don't see the warts every day, Lou.
But you just look at it and say, okay, man, if we acquire this great player, look what our fan base will feel about it. You know, we have a good team now. If we get this guy, we're going to go over the top. So teams are going after your free agents thinking that, you know, they're excited. They're actually excited to have David Price on their baseball team in L.A.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because, hey, he's a Cy Young candidate. You know, it's all these things. He's won a Cy Young. He's won a World Series. Yeah. So teams will look at Brady, and whether it's marketing or getting, you know, more people involved or more excited about their team, their fan base. I feel like other teams always view your free agents more valuable.
Until they find out that David Price may have some arm problems and he likes to talk and he doesn't necessarily like to engage nicely with fans.
Well,
all right, we'll continue to talk more about this. We got to get into the story with Mason Rudolph.
Gotta revisit it.
And it's unbelievable because we mentioned it last week that Myles Garrett doubled down and said that Rudolph used that racial slur. And that is the reason he went nutty and cracked him over the head with his football helmet. And we also heard, and we've had a situation here in Boston about this, where people said, if you don't believe the black player that somebody used the N-word at him, you're either ignorant or racist. So we'll ask the question, is Mike Tomlin ignorant or is he a racist? Because he stood up for his guy. We'll get to it coming up next.
OMF. We return to more of Ordway, Marloney, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
All right, you know, we're giving away this trip to Aruba, so every day at 4:30 this week, we're going to give you a chance to win a trip to Aruba. You can visit weei.com/Aruba, enter the code word flight.
Ooh, timing on that one. Good job. You got the code word.
But you didn't do
right?
The little
No, because drops. I wanted you to hit the, it's like hitting the, whatever, hit the post. Hit the post with the.
Well, I hit the dead air.
And then yeah,
the
post, that's what I mean.
Post
and
followed me.
You get the code word. Yeah. What is it again?
Do you know disc jockeys actually cheat? They have like a digital thing up there.
Yeah, with a countdown.
How long it is.
Yeah.
It's cheating.
It's not ruining really the illusion, Glenn.
Oh, so what's the code word?
The code word is flight.
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 I like the way they come up with these creative.
You and I will be taking
words.
A flight to Wednesday. Fort Myers on Together. Wednesday. Lou has already taken his.
I have taken a flight.
To
yes,
Fort
I have.
Myers, right.
I'm sitting here right now as they're watering and mowing the lawn.
So excited.
Looking forward to that.
Mm-hmm.
You can win an all-inclusive 5-night, 6-day trip for two to Aruba. You're going to stay at the DV Village Golf and Beach Resort. Going to enjoy 4 on-site restaurants all located right there, both poolside and along the golf course. Stunning views. Again, enter the code word flight right now, weei.com/Aruba. Your chance to win a getaway to Aruba, one happy island. Your next chance to win comes tomorrow morning, 8:30 a.m. with Greg Hill. It's all brought to you by DV Village Golf Beach Resort, OMF, and the WEEI Sports Radio Network. All right, last week we told you about Myles Garrett. And I get it. The first time around, he goes absolutely ballistic out there on the field. And people are saying, this dude is absolutely crazy because he cracked over somebody else's head.
Mason Rudolph.
Mason Rudolph, yeah. a helmet. And he's sitting there going, there's got to be something wrong there. So at the time, he said, he called me the N-word. He used a racial
Not right
slur.
Away, though.
No, he did it like two
no.
days later, 3 days later, right? I think
when
it,
he
it,
knew yeah. he was in trouble.
When he knew he was in trouble. Okay, and
didn't do it after the game.
He did
teammates.
Not. He
never
did
brought
not.
It up. Which nope. was it? Sheldon Richardson? Was that the guy? Who
yeah,
was
that was it. Yeah.
I mean, to me, that is everything. Like something like that happens in a game, man. When you're in that locker room with your teammates, your buddies, whatever, they're all sitting and saying, "Man, what the hell happened?" And that is when, if he indeed said that to him, that's when it would come out, and it never did.
So here's the problem, Lou. We saw it with the Adam Jones situation in center field at Fenway Park, and nobody could corroborate his story that somebody had dropped that N-bomb at him. And we were all told, we were all lectured, that you're
lectured's not, a good word.
You're not to question somebody you know, a black man when he says that somebody said this to him. And I get that aspect of it. I really understand it is sensitive. But, like, in any situation with anybody of any color, don't we really have to have some type of evidence that something wrong happened so that we can deal with it and we can penalize the people who actually did it?
I'll say this. The problem with that was it turned into bigger discussions. You know, if he sat there and said, you know, I don't know, man. I would think that people around them, and then it turns into, what, do you think that's never been said before at that stadium? And then players are like, yeah, I've heard it before. And they're like, see? See, so it happened. It's like, well, okay, I'm not debating whether it's happened before. Like, you're not hearing people coming out and saying, you don't think that word has ever been said in a football field? We're not questioning that. It probably has. What we're questioning is whether Mason Rudolph said it that day. You know, and then it turned into, so if you don't believe Adam Jones, you don't think racism is a problem in America. And it's like, Jesus, people, slow down. You know, it is, racism is an issue in this country. We're just wondering if this happened. And I feel like it's the same situation there. There is racism in this country. I'm sure that word has been said in a football field before. The question is, was it said at that time? That's the debate.
And you got to look at the setting, because we heard Kevin Garnett say it virtually every time he went up and down the court, but it was a different setting. In this setting, it is a white quarterback who said it, and he set off a black man to the point of complete rage, right? Because we hadn't seen anything like that before. So the thing plays through. The NFL does a complete investigation, and they find that nobody, there are no witnesses. All those football players, many of them who are black, who are out there in the field, none of them heard what Myles Garrett claimed he heard.
Mm-hmm.
So now they release him this past week. They reinstate him to football. And what does he do? Which was kind of shocking. He's got no evidence, nobody that's really supporting him, except that people are saying, if a black man says that a white man said it to him, you're supposed to believe him. And so we kind of had to go along with the program. Myles Garrett comes out and he doubles down on this. And he basically says, he called me the N-word, and that is why I went to the
point. But not only that, and there's no proof because you lost all the data, all the information. Mason Rudolph had a microphone. It somehow just came off, and there's no proof of it. Then Mason Rudolph comes out, and he sends out a tweet saying 1,000% false, did not, would not ever happen. So there's a back end. So I'm glad that
he's taking
that
heat. And Rudolph, who, if you don't know, is white, is taking the heat. And there are people that are all over him that claim that he said it. Why? Because Myles Garrett said it, and we're supposed to believe the black man when the black man says that. So let's enter Mike Tomlin into the story. Coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
We better give him enough, but at the same time, we better not give him too much.
Mike Tomlin of the Pittsburgh Steelers, who happens to be black, and he is coming out supporting his quarterback.
The most recent one this past weekend, I took offense to it, to be quite honest with you. When it first transpired during the season, we don't have a lot of time to pause and fight battles of that nature. We said our piece. We were completely cooperative with all parties involved, the Cleveland Brown organization and the National Football League office. And then we had to move on. We had another game awaiting us, and we wanted to be singularly focused. But when these allegations returned this past weekend, I thought it was appropriate that Mason is properly defended.
So he defended him, and you don't think that Mike Tomlin would talk with a lot of players who happen to be black on his own team and say, guys, let me know, what did you hear out there? Right? He certainly would be extremely sensitive, Mike Tomlin, that is, sensitive to somebody saying that. Would he not?
I think you say what you want about Mike Tomlin. Judge his coaching ability, his decision-making. The guy's well-respected and loved in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And I was loving the fact that despite that he could have easily said, listen, I'm black, you should trust him. No, what he did, and I don't think he just said defended Mason Rudolph because he's a Steeler. He doesn't. That's too risky. You can't do that. You can't just because he's a Steeler. Well,
especially if you have black players on your team.
You owe them explanation. There's some ownership and accountability to them. But this next cut, I love this next cut.
Nobody on that field as a member of the Cleveland Browns or the Pittsburgh Steelers corroborated what was said by Myles Garrett. That was founded by us and the National Football League. And at no point during that piece this weekend, that was stated. I was on the field immediately after that altercation and subsequently after the game. I got a lot of personal relationships within that organization over there in Cleveland. At no point did anyone within that organization come forward and say, Mike, heads up, we got a situation here or something of that nature that you would expect that comes with those type of allegations.
So
That's everything.
That's everything.
I mean, to me, that is everything. This guy does not walk off the field. He does not tell his teammates what Mason Rudolph said to him. He doesn't go to his coaches. He knows he's in trouble. He knows he's screwed. You know, he doesn't try to justify it to them and say, listen, this is what he said. This is why I went nuts. He just waits for 3 or 4 days to go by. He doesn't share that with anybody at all. There's no way in hell Mason Rudolph said it. If he did, he would have brought that up immediately after the game, and he didn't. It's ridiculous.
To me, it's so dangerous. I'm gonna play the next one, Ryan. Right? Is that the one?
7 days,
do?
By the way. Yeah. Can I give you the timeline? 7 days later, he said it. Now I want to throw this one out there because now Tomlin is pissed off at the way the media is dealing with it, and that's one reason he came on ESPN to talk about it.
So I fully support Mason Rudolph. We as an organization fully support Mason Rudolph. And to be quite honest with you, we were hacked off with what we saw this weekend. Not specifically from Myles Garrett. He's been in the lane that he's in. But what was displayed by ESPN in that panel, the way that the situation was presented, I don't think was fair to Mason Rudolph. And that's why I'm here today.
You know what? I just feel like it's so dangerous. So no matter where,
I don't think it is
no matter,
I
you don't think it's
you.
Dangerous that Myles Garrett can just throw out an accusation?
No, because in society today, and we saw it here at home, is that most people will say that you need to believe a black
That's
man if they
tell you. That's what makes it dangerous,
you.
Because all you have to do, if you find yourself in a bind, in a bad situation, or to Myles Garrett, you said 7 days, hey, I'm in trouble. Yeah. How the hell do I get out of this?
So why
I need to come up with the most, you know, the craziest situation to explain my behavior. So, bam, there you go. So now anywhere Mason Rudolph goes, regardless of if he's telling the truth or not, he's stigmatized with that label.
But look what the media did. Look what ESPN did. That's what's pissing Mike Tomlin off, is that the media was implying that the Steelers were covering this up.
I represent the leadership of the Pittsburgh Steelers organization, and that also was implied during that interview this weekend that somehow we suppressed evidence or were participants in some lack of thoroughness. And anybody that knows this organization, knows what it stands for, understand how the Rooney family gets down from a business standpoint, that's laughable. We would not participate in the covering up of such issues, and we would obviously do what was appropriate in terms of dealing with those circumstances.
And the media did it again because that's what we're taught. That's what
people are supposed to do. Do you feel like the media really ran with this, with Myles Garrett's excuse or reasoning for this whole thing?
No, I think he's talking
about... they did the interview, you know, and it was part of the story. But I don't feel the people, anybody really believed him.
Who?
Because Myles Garrett. Because I feel like people would be going after Mason Rudolph more than they are if they really believe Myles Garrett. I don't think people believe him, given the reaction.
Well,
I don't.
Some of the stuff that I saw, though, with ESPN, and I think that's what Tomlin is talking about, there was some criticism directed elsewhere. So you're probably right, Lou, but again, that's why I like what Tomlin's doing here. And he's coming out and saying the race is irrelevant. The color of my skin is irrelevant. What we're discovering is the truth. What really happened and what did not happen. And let's keep color out of it. That's what he's doing. But I think too many people and the way they reported it were very sensitive to Myles Garrett. And by the way, if somebody actually is the victim of racism where they're being called this name, we should be sensitive to it. We should penalize them. We should call them out. But doesn't this, if people do what maybe Myles Garrett did, which is maybe he embellished this thing and made it up because he was the one that was the fool out in the
field.
Well,
that was part of it. You know, we've heard that before, too. Like, why would they just make it up? Like, you know, going back to Adam Jones. Why would he just make it up? And I'm like, listen,
I don't know. I can't speak why Myles Garrett. I think we know why Myles Garrett's trying to make it up, right? To justify it. I don't know. You tell me. Why did Jussie Smollett make it up? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know what people are thinking. I don't know why they do. But it's sort of like, hey, if I'm stuck, whatever, I'll just throw this out there. I don't know. And I'm trying to justify an awful attack on a football field and try to get people to understand why when it just didn't happen.
It's so unbelievably dangerous. And I don't know why you don't think it is dangerous. The fact that
dangerous.
The fact that Mike Tomlin came out, that makes me happy. It makes me happy that because the one guy that is the one black man, the adult in the room that doesn't have an axe to grind, and I'm sure if it was the case, and I'll say this because I was thinking about this, 13 years in the NFL, I have never heard a white guy say this to a black guy, ever.
Not a smart thing to do.
Ever. I don't care how many fights. I don't care how badly you get beat. I don't care what they're doing. I've never heard black guy say it. But I've never heard, ever, not even in practice, never. It's so taboo. I don't care how out of control you get. I don't care how much you can't control what you say. It never happens because every white guy knows that if they do say it, they are Dunsky. And I'm not talking in a fun way. I mean, you are just get out.
Right.
It doesn't exist.
Right.
You know, and there's always one random guy that gets a pass. Now, like it or don't like it, it's the way it is. I know what to tell you. I know who gets a pass. Somehow, they do. You know, and that's just, you know, their relationship with the guy. So, to me, this is. I'm glad it happened. So, because Myles Garrett, to me, he just sounded like a liar.
Well, I think he got himself into a lot of trouble because what he did was pretty insane out on a football field. He was taking the heat, and he was trying to find some way of bailing his ass out. The problem was, and I think it was Lou just said this, that notice when it happened originally, was it back in November? None of his teammates came to his defense and said, oh, yeah, I heard it. That was awful. You would think, especially other African-Americans, they're not going to stand up and say, this a-hole actually called him that word, and we're calling his ass out. Now he reiterated it this past weekend, Myles Garrett did, and where's the support of any members of his team? We've heard just the opposite. Sheldon Richardson, that Lou brought up earlier, sitting there going, I never heard it. Never
first
heard
time
it,
I've heard of it.
First time
I've
heard
question
of it.
Him, you, if you question him, you can't question him. Because I would sit there and say, does Mason Rudolph have a case?
Right. And they bring cases in which people have lied because they got themselves into trouble. Marcus Smart in college.
Who was the wide receiver the Eagles?
Riley Cooper.
Yes. The white guy.
Yeah.
Different situation, though.
Yeah.
At some fair, drunk off, not saying I'm not condoning it, but my point is he said it to somebody else who wasn't a teammate and he was hammered.
Yep.
And he thought he had a pass. He just thought, I can throw it out there like it's no big deal. Somebody recorded it. It goes out there. Now he's got to explain to it. Now Michael Vick has got to come out and vouch for Riley Cooper, who ended up getting a new contract that same year.
Is somebody going to back Myles Garrett? I mean, are we totally wrong about this? Is Myles Garrett telling the truth, and the NFL has a cover-up?
People who think this is a cover-up are insane. I see him lined up. I see him right now. I can't wait to talk to him to find out what the hell.
I'm telling you, we're going to get to it coming up next. We'll get into more of, if you missed it, John Henry finally spoke today. We'll get to some of that coming up in the final hour of OMF. We go 30 minutes commercial-free next.